You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
We're going to be launching into our series called Be at Rest. And I don't know how long this series will go. It'll be at least 3 weeks long. I try and leave the summer open so that can freelance a little bit. Even I can tell you at the end of August, we're going to be starting a series going through the Psalms of Ascent. That's Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. I'm really excited about that as part of the project. We have a couple months out. Chris is working on songs for each of the Psalms, and it's going to be interesting because as you read through them, some of the Psalms are not happy Psalms. And we read through the Psalms and think, this sounds kind of angry. And there's Psalms in there that are, you know, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul, and there's a celebration. And then there's the Psalms like, dear God, why couldn't I have got to the Babylonian children early and bashed their heads against the rocks? I'm not making that up. That's a Psalm. That's a question David asked God. We're going to sing that next week. No, it's the entire gamut of human experience is wrapped up in the Psalms. If you're depressed, if you're angry, if you're anxious, take the things that are pushing your buttons, go to a place where you can be loud, and pray the Psalms. Tell God what you're thinking and feeling, and then ask him, what are you going to do about that? Because he's not intimidated by you and your experience where you're at. And matter of fact, you actually get to be real with him. He says, now we can do some business here. He doesn't magically take something away, but he engages with us exactly where we are. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about restoration, recreation, or recreation. I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go with that, really. Rest, the Sabbath, rhythm of life are rooted in who Hillside is today. If you were a part of Hillside before 2006, you would have known a very different Louie and a very different Joni and a very different church family. Coming out of our... Joni and I were blessed. We were working at a trip in Frankfurt, Germany. A friend of ours said, would you like to go to Rome, my treat? What's the answer to that question? Yes, please. And so we went to Rome. And no kidding, we were in a double room. And I use that term loosely. I could go like this on one wall, go like this the other wall, and touch. It was a small little room. But it was a great room. And we'd look out the window and there's, you know, Tony Curtis is standing on the corner. All the time. Not really Tony Curtis, but the guy who looks like Tony Curtis. Oh, Chabela. Say every time Joni go by. And it's like, don't talk to my wife that way. But while we were there, I heard God say to me, you don't celebrate the Sabbath. And it pushed my buttons because I didn't even know. I never even considered it because the Sabbath is the Old Testament, right? Well, yeah, it is, but it's also part of the creation order, and we're going to touch on that in a little bit. But one of the things that God did is he led us towards living at a pace that is more based upon him and what his metronome to life than on the metronome of our culture. And last week, I had a moment. It was not quite a meltdown, but the potential for melting was there. And it was right at the end of church, and as I'm getting ready just to dismiss us and say we're done, all of a sudden I hear this whisper, rest. And that's all I needed to, oh. What I'm experiencing right now is, you know, being that too little butter spread over too much bread feeling is a lack of quality rest. I'm not talking about sleep, but functioning at a pace in life where one thing after another, and I have not been listening to my body's rhythms and listening to the rhythm of the Lord. And so I know these things, but do you ever realize that there's things that we know them, but you know, down the road, we know them in our head, but we're not living them out. There's never a bad time to go back and review the basics because Christianity is just about the basics. You can get into Revelation and eschatology and debate when Jesus is coming back all you want. But if you're not loving each other, the very basic part of the faith, doesn't matter how good you can talk about stuff. Loving one another is incredibly significant. So what's about to come now is not an anti-camping or anti-recreation diatribe, okay? So some of the examples that are going to be used, I'm not pointing fingers at any person in the room, okay? I don't like the outdoors, but it's okay if you do. Last week, Joni and I, for Father's Day, got to go to a place where there's an escape room called, I think, the Breakout or something like that, where my kids and their spouses took us to a room, and all the boys were in one room, all the girls were in another room, and each room has a theme, and you have an hour to figure out how to get out of there, or you lose. We both lost, but we got further than the girls did, but that's beside the point. Just a little bit. But on the way home, we're driving with Elise and Dustin, and it's Sunday night, it's probably 9:30, and there's RVs everywhere. We're heading out I-80 East towards Sparks Boulevard, and there's big old fifth wheels being pulled, and there's motorhomes and stuff. And Elise says, you know, part of this, you're dealing with a 15-week-long pregnant woman. And so she's tired when she wakes up in the morning. She's like, I couldn't imagine him going camping this week and just be getting home right now and having to go clean that out. And I thought, okay, yeah, I get that. And then the next RV goes by. I was like, man, I'm so glad we didn't go camping. And she said it probably 15 times. And pretty soon it's like, homegirl's on a roll here. She really doesn't, I'm glad, you know, we didn't go camping. It's like, you know, I don't think I've ever taken you camping. So you can love me more as your father right now. And it reminded me a little bit of what happens at Little Lights on Monday morning. When we have kids being dropped off, you can tell the people who've been recreating. Because the kids come in toast. First thing in the morning, they're dragging, and they just kind of sit as blobs. And they're just, you know, normally running around crazy, but they're just burnt. And it's an incredible picture of what happens to us. We learn how to cover it up. We use legal stimulants like caffeine, coffee, to, you know, to wake up and to be able to function. But at some point, when we need our coffee so much, what we're actually doing is we're trying to override our natural response, our body saying, hey, slow down, man. Very rarely are we engaged in things that are just not good. Maybe, you know, there's things we aren't, but a lot of the time there's just too much good going on in our life, and we're not saying no at times when we need to say no. If you're 20 years old, you can go a lot longer and a lot faster than somebody who's 47 like me. And so our pace and rhythm of our life is something that we're going to find in each phase of life to be able to hear God saying, what is it that you want for me? So I'm functioning according to what he says, not according to what the norm for the culture is. Am I doing okay so far? Okay, good. So talked a little bit about Israel and Egypt today in our communion time. And really, one of the biggest metaphors it's taken from Scripture is when Israel was enslaved in Egypt, guess how many days a week they worked? Seven. That's not fair. They had no days off. They had no time for recreation. So after 430 years, this is 200 plus years longer almost than the United States has been a country. They're enslaved. All they know is Egypt. All they know is slavery. All they know is the Egyptian pantheon. You know, they've got the folk stories that they've heard about their God. But then when Moses and Aaron show up and are declaring there's a God who's going to bring deliverance to you, they go to the Israelites first. And they say, okay, guys, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go in. We're going to say, let my people go. And Pharaoh's going to let you go. And God's going to take us into the desert. And he's going to introduce us to him and who he is and what he's like. And the Israelite leaders are like, yes, awesome. Set us free. Now, Moses goes in and he goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go so they can come into the desert to worship. And Pharaoh says, I don't even know you. I don't know your God. Give me a break. Matter of fact, I've heard you've been talking to some of these Israelite people. I've got a solution for you. Why don't you guys leave and... Next. The king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen. You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it for their idol. Therefore they cry, let us go offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. Pharaoh's response is, get out of here. Let's make Israelites work harder so they're not going to even be thinking about going anywhere. And that's actually make the whole idea about going and worshiping God something that's distasteful. So Moses and Aaron go back to the people and say, well, it didn't really work. It's like, no doubt it didn't work. We're working harder than we were before. Thanks for nothing, guys. What Pharaoh does, he says, I'm going to make them so busy they can't listen to God's call to go worship. Now, we're not enslaved, but many of us may be functioning under the exact same thing that the Israelites were, which is a taskmaster that drives us to do, do, do all the time. And even when we're recreating, we're engaging in something that keeps our brain going, and we can be on a device 24/7. This coming up late August, early September, we're going to be having some more marriage refreshers. I'm looking forward to those. Those are times where we get together and talk about very pertinent, poignant issues that are going on in marriages, how we can better our marriages. I can tell you this, schedule time where this is not on or near you. If you have a problem with that for more than 5 minutes, there is actually a psychological dependency that our brains develop with this. And it becomes one of the biggest tools that gets in the way of our relationships. We can spend quality time with each other and we're both looking at our phone. Joni and I went out to eat the other night and had a phenomenal time. We went with Michael's parents, Vic and Jen Freeman. Hi, Michael. Yes. Hello, Vic and Jen. Vic and Jen were kids in our youth group back in the day. And Jen was in our wedding when she was in ninth grade. And then they got married. And now they have Michael. A long time ago. Anyway, we're there. And I can remember we're sitting and talking, interacting. And there's a couple at a table right across from us. Sitting across from each other. And they both have their phones out and looking at each other. I mean, looking at the phone, not looking at each other. I'm looking at it and think, this looks like a really quality day. I bet they're going to go home and think, this was really fun today. It's not conducive to relationship. And even when we rest, if we withdraw into just ourselves versus into relationship, it can become something that is counterproductive. Not always, but the more we do it, it can be. So, in Genesis chapter 2, on the seventh day, it said God rested. Why did God rest? God was not tired. He rested to make the day holy. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus says, Sabbath was made for the man. People were not made to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made so you could rest and celebrate the holy time. Christianity is the only religion worldwide that does not have a one holy place. You know, if you're Muslim, you've got your three M cities, Mecca, Medina, and there's another one that I always forget. People make pilgrimages there because they're holy. So now people say, well, Jerusalem's a holy place. Well, yeah, it is. It's cool. But in Christianity, we have holy time. So instead of going somewhere, God wants us to set ourselves apart to him. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 116, which is the source of the song that Chris sang today that Sean wrote. Can you believe it's been 10 years, Earl? That's, wow, it's crazy. So let's look at Psalm 116, 1 and 2. It says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So Sean wrote this song 10 years ago, a little bit more than 10 years ago, in preparation for a mission trip we were taking to Frankfurt, Germany, to work with our sister church at the time. And we were putting on a festival called Life is Beautiful, or in German, Leben ist schön. And this song became, for me, and I believe for us, and for Hillside, a prophetic declaration of what God was wanting to speak to us as a congregation. And what ended up coming out of our, you know, when we went to Germany during that time, we also took 4 weeks off of church as a church. Hillside was closed. No business for one whole month. And we were taking responsibility for our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. And it wasn't like you can't go to church anyway, but just don't go here. Find a way to know that you can make a relationship with God happen. It doesn't have to happen in the context of here. And so as Sean wrote this song, this became kind of our anthem, the focus of God calling us to put our souls in a spot of rest. And then going back and reading through Psalm 116, we see that the guy who's writing this is in the pangs of death. He's trapped. He's in a situation he cannot get out of. And this declaration, like, please save me, heal me, you know, restore me. And there's then the place where God does this. And then there's the celebration. And there's a return to rest, oh my soul. And in coming out of this, as I wanted to share with us today, kind of starting this series, is we have the opportunity to call out to God from whatever situation we're in and to know he's going to intersect our life and bring deliverance to us. And there's also the point where we get to care for our souls. Who's going to care for your soul if you don't? No one. It is our responsibility to care for our soul. The Greek word for soul is psyche. Psyche. The essence of who we are. It's our feelings, our desires, our affections, our aversions. What makes you you is your soul. You know, Joni said, looking at that picture from 2000-something, and so don't we look the same? It's like, no, we don't. I'm the same dude inside. No, this, I got to tell you, sorry. This last week, I'm cleaning out my office because I was frustrated and cleaning helps insight into my psyche. And I found this picture from Shauna Marie's wedding in Flag Day. What year was that, Earl? 2004. It was great. And I'm looking at the picture and I go show my wife, look, I found this picture. And she goes, oh my goodness, Louie, you look so different. And it's like, oh, I guess that's what old age does. It's like, yeah, I guess that's what old age does, isn't it? And I said, that really hurts. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Because I'm thinking, I still, you know, I'm thinking about being that person, but we change over time. And so we start looking at pictures and thinking, wow, that really was me. The psyche doesn't change. It can mature and it can grow and God can bring healing and transformation. But the person who's really us stays the same. You just get trapped in this body that starts to hurt a little bit more over time and it doesn't recover as quickly. I remember one time I asked Willie. Willie plays softball at a very high level with a group of guys about his age. And I said, so Willie, I'm having a really hard time after workout recovering. Is that old age or is that just me or what is it? And he says, yeah. I said, which one? He says, all. That happens. It's part of the human experience. And so if we can care for our physical body, we join gyms, we do things to try and get fit and to eat healthy and to eat clean. I don't even know what that means, but to eat clean, it usually involves kale, I'm sure. The rawer, the better. But to care for our souls, because it's something we can't actually touch and lay hold of, it's like, well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, part of it's coming down to what is it that you do or where is it that you go that causes you to feel the joy and presence of God? What feeds or waters the you inside of you? Think about that. Can you answer that question? For my wife, it's somewhere on a beach with water and sand and sun, right? Yes. And if there's lights at night shining on water, it's like she could stand there for hours and look at it. You know, for me, it's being in a very quiet spot with nobody else talking, listening to music or reading a book. Or sometimes it's just like last night listening to the 1812 Overture and the beauty of the person who, Mr. Tchaikovsky, who put this together. And just being able to hear the story that's being told and the rise and the fall and the crescendo. And I think the highest purpose of music is to bring glory to God. And goodness gracious, God had to go, you know, well done, Tchaikovsky, for that one. It's good stuff. But if we don't know what feeds our soul, how can we do it? Okay? So for us to care for our soul is to look for opportunities to take stock of life. Because we don't always know what's going on with us until we stop. So part of this, our culture has a source of constant noise. There's a soundtrack for everything. One of the greatest inventions and worst inventions that ever happened was earbuds. Because earbuds are a declaration to the world, don't talk to me, I'm listening to something. At least that's what I try and say when I'm putting them in my ears. But they also, we can have a constant noise going in our head that we never have the quietness. And if God speaks to us like he says he does with a still small voice, we can miss that. Hey, the other day I was in my bathroom and I just finished shaving and I lift up my arm and I've got this bruise. It's mostly gone now, but it's like this huge bruise. It's like, what? Where did that come from? I push on it. Yes, bruises hurt. Did you know that? Ah, yeah, that hurts. And I'm looking and thinking, where did that happen? And I look over here and say, I got a scrape in my... Where did that scrape come from? And so, of course, at this point, I'm intrigued. Have I been sleepwalking? You know, aliens again? I don't know what the deal is, theoretically. And so I look at my legs. I've got a couple of bruises on my. It's like, what happened? I had no idea. And I'm thinking through. It's like, huh, oh, we were moving something, and something fell, and I caught it, and it hit my arm, but I didn't feel it at the time because I was going. But it's only when I stopped to take stock of, ooh, boo-boo, you know, all of a sudden I realized there's more. When we stop, we give ourselves the opportunity, and God and the Holy Spirit the opportunity to say, you're hurting. You're functioning on adrenaline, so you can't really feel it. But by stopping, all of a sudden it's like, oh, better. You know what I'm talking about? So it's the taking stock. I saw something. I read several different news resources because no news. It's like everybody's got a bias. Everybody's got an angle. And some of it's just like, you know, I'm not going to go look at this or go look at that. But I really love it when there's statistics because people, you can manipulate them. But when they're talking about rest and vacation, and I'm happen to talk about rest and vacation this week at church, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for sending this my way. And so the number one vacation activity in the United States this year is staying home doing nothing. Because people, and the person who's writing it says, people are going 100 miles an hour all the time, and all they want to do is veg. Can I get a witness in the congregation? So that could be a sign that something's wrong. It could also be a sign that you're a homebody. I'm not saying it's terrible, but to be able to say it's worth pursuing. If I can't, like if on my day off, if all I do is sleep, if all I do is just like lay there, my mentor, my coach said, that means your body's broken and you're breaking the inside of you. That day where you're not doing anything else, it's okay to be able to actually have energy to do stuff. If you don't have any, it's because something's breaking in here. Listen to your body. So, how do we do this? I'm not an expert, but a lot of things, one of the things I've learned is that just because I enjoy an activity doesn't mean it doesn't take a toll on my life. I can enjoy teaching, which I do immensely. I can enjoy many things, but there's an aspect of recovery when we go through a spot of adrenaline that our body needs. We can say, well, I'm not feeling any real stress right now. Well, there's two kinds of stress. Distress, we all know about. Distress is the kind of stress when we're out for a walk in the woods and the mountain lion shows up. It's like, and we get all freaked out. Boom, boom, boom. Heart's beating 100 miles an hour. We walk away slowly. That's distress or partially distress. Eustress is the kind that you feel when you're just pumped with euphoria. And then we come down from that and our body needs to recover from that too. And so one of the things that's helpful to me, and I'm reminding myself, is that my schedule belongs to me. I know not everyone's schedule belongs to you. I know my son Joey works at UPS, and he just got a job where now he's a supervisor. They have a supervisor for the shift before him, and they have his shift. So when the guy goes on vacation or is not available, they don't bring someone else in to do the job. They just have Joey do the job and then do his job. So he can be at work from 9 in the morning till 3 in the morning. Like, his schedule doesn't belong to him. I think in some ways they do it because it's like, oh, you're a salary man. That's just how things are going to go. In other ways, it just blows my mind. It's like, oh, to be 22 again, to even be able to recover that quickly. But I digress. If your schedule belongs to you, you can decide what you're going to give yourself to. This goes with our recreation. This can go with our work. All sorts of stuff. But to be able to say, if I look at my schedule, what percentage of my schedule is occupied? And if we're looking at a 98% occupation for our schedule, I mean, we're literally packed. When life happens to us, we're going to overload. There will always be a surprise. I hate that. But there's always something that comes along and puts a demand on our life. And when that demand shows up, we get overloaded. And that overload puts us into a place that I don't think any of us really like to be. If I look at my schedule, and it's 80% full. I've got 20% that's blocked out for nothing yet. When life's interruptions happen, I can look at the interruption as maybe something that God wants me to address or to speak life into, rather than as an interruption it's a point of being overloaded. The whole point is, if I push my schedule to the maximum, I'm going to be in a spot where I am close to distress. I'm going to be in a spot where I will be needing to cry out for deliverance. And at some point, God does want to deliver us, but he also wants us to be people who are caring for ourselves as well. You know, it's a very easy thing when your kid gets up on the roof and you didn't know it and then they can't get down. I really want to help my kid in that situation when they do this kind of thing. I mean, my son Joey was known for getting up on the roof. It's like the first time he needed me to get him down. Later on, he gets on the roof again. It's like, dude, I already got you down from there. Why are you doing that again? I know God doesn't get tired of coming to our rescue, but at some point we keep doing something to ourselves over and over and over again. And he's like, come on now. Rest. Receive that. I think since I've being a type A personality, which I think I'm kind of recovering from, part of it's being firstborn perfectionist, type A, which is the right, you know, it's first, so it's good. I would pride myself on how hard I could work and what I could do and what I could give myself to. And I realized that I didn't really have time for the people because I was so focused on the tasks and stuff that I was doing. And I had God tell me several years ago that I'm in the people business. It's like, who would have thought? Pastor of a church in the people business. So you need to be open and ready to be able to engage people. It's like, I'm not a huge fan of strangers. I'm not a huge fan of crowds. I'm not a huge fan of talking to people, just making small talk. And so it's like, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? And God says, don't worry about it. I'll bring them to you. And when I have built time into my schedule where I'm not in a hurry to, and by the way, everybody's got times where you're in a hurry. That's okay. But by not being in a hurry, I've experienced some pretty incredible things and pretty incredible people and had the opportunity to do really cool stuff in people's lives. Not because I'm awesome, but because God says, I want to use you to talk to the girl at Starbucks who's having a really hard day. Where she's got no other, it's like that moment where there's 40 people in line and then everybody's gone except for it's just me. And I'm standing there. And I order my drink and I look at her and she's got a tear coming down. And it's like that one tear coming. She's trying to hold it together. And I can look over and say, are you okay? No. I said, do you want to talk about it for 30 seconds? I'm a customer. You know, come over here to where you can look like we're looking at the merchandise. She came over and talked to her. I said, can I pray for you? Would you pray for her? Leave. 5 minutes of my time. This isn't, wow, Louis is so great. No, this is just shows Jesus is great that he would do this through a guy like me. If we're looking to see how we can be a blessing to other people, at some point the burdens that we have been carrying ourselves get lifted. And the engaging in soul care and in resting is something that allows us to be ready for what it is that God made us to do. And that is to enjoy the life that we're in. I think one of the last things I will say is saying yes to something means saying no to something else. I need to know what my process is for my yeses and my nos. For some of us, we are go-to people. We are our gifts are helps. We are the person who, you know, who are we going to call? We call Tony Mack because if you call Tony Mack, he's going to be there. He'll help. That's what you do. You're a helps person. But be able to know, if I say yes to do this, what else am I going to have to say no to? I'll just add that to the list. All of us have to be able to know when I put something else here, I've got to be able to take something out. It's a principle that we try and practice at our home with dishes. My wife's a dishes person. How many sets of dishes do you need? One more. One more. And so several years ago, as the cabinets began to overflow, it's like, babe, if we say yes to this dish, we have to say no to another dish. And she bought it. So I was like, yeah. And so now there's space. The same principle goes into our life of being able to say yes to something. Okay, what am I going to say no to? You know, it's not uncommon for someone who's involved in serving in an area of church to say, yeah, I know I'm already doing this, this, and this, but I heard there's a need for that, so I'm going to do that too. And I would say, I understand that. But as a pastor who also is a person, I would say, if you're going to say yes to go serve in this other area, how about you say no to this one? Say no at church? Yeah, church is not God. Matter of fact, some of you guys might enjoy your life a little better if you skipped church one Sunday and went out and enjoyed yourself with your family. I'm not... What? Wow. I'm not saying, you know, don't ever come back, but the building's probably not going to fall down if you're gone for a week. And to be able to see the rhythm of the life that people live outside the building reminds us we're peculiar people. Getting up early on a Sunday morning, coming together for this. We're not dumb. It's just We got a purpose. Be able to be out there and get to see what does everybody else do on Sunday mornings? It's like the day that they have. Sometimes you need that day. Take that day. And then come back. Because the perspective you bring is something that's going to help. Oh, this is what we're here for. We're here to have God regulate our souls and to bring healing and restoration and hope so that when I go out into the real world, I can bring healing, restoration, and hope to the people who are going 100 miles an hour nose to the grindstone. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm going to play a song. It's the one we sing that Sean wrote. You can put the words up, Alan. As I play this, my prayer is that this prophetic declaration will seep into the every corner of your life. If you have ever spilled oil on a surface, you know that that oil gets into every nook and cranny. My prayer is that the healing oil of God seeps into every nook and cranny of your souls as you hear this. Not because of my voice, but because I think there's two scriptures really that hit the very core of who Hillside is. Number one, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hillside cannot be hidden. You know, go out and be the light. Second one is this. We live at a pace that God sets, not that the world sets. Be at rest.
Oh, my soul, be at rest once more. Oh, my soul, be at rest once more. Oh, my soul. My soul, for the Lord is gracious and righteous to me. For our God is full of compassion for me. For Lord, you have been good to me when I was in need, you saved me, and Lord, delivered my soul from death, saved my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Now, Lord, I am walking with you in the land of the living, I'm walking in your truth. Rest once more, oh my soul. Be at rest once more, oh my soul.
Lord, we thank you for your graciousness, for your righteousness in dealing with us. Thank you for your compassion, that even when we're in a situation of our own making, you don't point a finger, but you rescue and you heal. We thank you, Lord, and we declare that you have been good to us. When we've been in need, you saved us. You've delivered us from death to life. In our sorrow, you have wiped our tears. When we've tripped, you caught us so we didn't fall. We walk with you today at your pace.
at your rhythm. We declare that in Jesus' name. We will walk in the land of the living. Walk in your truth. Be at rest.
Be at rest once more, oh my soul. Be at rest once more, oh my soul.
Can you come with me for a second? Oh, Lord, thank you. May that just go down to the deepest parts of our soul, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for when it's been too loud for me to listen. Help us embrace the quiet with you. Teach us how to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You want to say anything?
Just what came to my mind is that he is the air that we breathe, and stopping to take that breath. Let him restore, rejuvenate, bring life to us as we breathe.
So we're going to have salad together, and that may not sound fun, but if you put pulled pork on salad or chicken on salad, it turns into something incredible. Stick around, because one of the ways God feeds our soul is by putting people in our life who speak words of life to us. Some of you are those words of life. Some of you need to speak them. Some of you need to hear them. Let's do that. So we're going to be receiving that. Thank you for the food, Jesus. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've prayed. So, right on.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day. Rest. After you help us move heavy things.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.